Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Mobility Radio, featuring industry leaders and innovators in mobile technology.
Good morning. This is Brett Cooper here with Hillary Champagne and Marco Acosta. And Hillary Champagne looks just like somebody we had on the show a while ago who went by a different last name. Do you want to give us some important news you got going on?
Yes, and I'm glad you introduced me because I keep introducing myself with my last name. I'm Hillary Champagne. I'm the Director of Mobility at the Chamber, and I got married about a month ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Aside from a busy wedding season, what's going on at the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce from a mobility standpoint? What do you guys get going on?
Yeah, we've been keeping busy. I think I came on here about a month or two ago, right before Mobility Live. So that kept us busy. We had that September 23rd and 24th, along with the GSMA Mobile 360 event here in Atlanta. And then, sorry, go ahead.
Awesome. Those are two fantastic events. I went to parts of them. And what was the end result of those events? I know you guys had 1,000 people show up for, I think, between the two of them. Is that
right?
Yeah,
they went really well. I mean, it was our second year doing Mobility Live, so we were trying to get the number up a little bit. We had about 450 people the first year, and then this year we hit just about 1,000 people in and out over the day and a half. So, yeah, I think huge success.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Double again next year. Next year, 2,000?
I don't know about 2,000, maybe 1,500 baby steps, but we're getting it up there.
Nice to get there. And then GSMA, what was, can you recap what was the focus for the GSMA meetings?
Yeah. So GSMA, as you guys know, they put on Mobile World Congress every year in Barcelona, huge mobility show. And they chose Atlanta out of all the cities in North America to host their first Mobile 360 North American event. And they only chose 4 cities in the whole world to host these 360 events. So it's a pretty big deal that they came here. They had, gosh, let's see, I think just over 250 people come, so they kind of exceeded their number, and I think that they thought it was a pretty big success. They were over at the W Hotel in Midtown.
Awesome. So your role was a lot of the coordination and planning for that, and then that's a small portion of your job at the Chamber, is that right?
Yeah, so I helped from the Chamber side organize our volunteers to help organize Mobility Live, so we have about 250 awesome volunteers that make up our Mobility Leadership Council at the Chamber, and we had a huge group step in, form all the subcommittees from everything from programming, sponsorship. They really got the Mobility Live done. So cool. Yeah, I'm just kind of the coordination point from the Chamber there.
Can you take a step back? So the Chamber itself, can you talk about what's the overarching mission for Atlanta?
Yeah, so I work on our economic development team, and really our role there is to help attract investment to the region. So attract, expand, retain business. And I personally focus on the mobility community. So what I do is I work with MAC members, our partners in the business community. And what we've done is we've tried to pull together those that are interested or work in mobile and wireless technology. So about 2 years ago, we pulled together some C-level leaders, really, and formed something called the Mobility Task Force. Since then, they've put a strategy in place about how we can make Atlanta known as a global hub for mobility. And we've put 4 different working groups in place that have been, you know, kind of hacking away at trying to make us, you know, really show off everything that we're doing. So we have a skilled workforce working group. What we're doing there is trying to grow internships. We put together a mobility scholarship fund this year. We raised over $100,000 that we're going to be giving out to students interested in careers in mobility. And you can actually, if you know any students, we actually have those scholarships up for grabs right now at internnavigator.com. So that's something a little bit interesting. Students can go out there right now and apply for that.
And what's the criteria for that? Is it a student who's doing software, or what's the...
No, it's any student, freshman through senior, who is really interested and has, I guess, taken courses in mobile and technology related fields. And so all the criteria is there on Intern Navigator, and you can check it out.
Awesome. Do you have a sense of, is it the 5 or 10 scholarships you guys are giving out? It's just based on the applicants?
We have 5, yeah.
Excellent. That's really good. So what was that website for that again?
InternNavigator.com, and it's 5 scholarships of $2,500 each. Awesome. Up for grabs. Deadline's December 5th.
Get on it, kids. Get on it.
Yeah.
And then what were the other work groups?
Yeah, so that's skilled workforce. We have Promote. So the main goal of the Promote working group, obviously, is to tell our story, you know, what we all have going on here in Atlanta in terms of mobility and why you would want to do business here. So we've gotten, you know, some of the results of that working group. We've obviously put on Mobility Live for the second year in a row. We attend Mobile World Congress every year in Barcelona and kind of bring together a delegation of folks from Atlanta and Georgia there to tell our story. We also brought the Rutberg Global Summit to Atlanta this year, and then GSMA. So both of those are pretty important because we're bringing these, you know, key decision makers from these companies to Atlanta so they can see why it's a good place to do business.
What was the Rutberg? Can you give a 30-second overview of what that was?
Yeah, Rutberg came, I think it was last March, and we had about 300 folks, C-level executives from all over the U.S. and some global, and they came to Atlanta for the summit, and really were here for, I think 2 days at the Ritz in Buckhead, and just got a chance to really experience the city. Tried to roll out the red carpet for them so they could see why it's a great place to be.
Yeah, and then the you mentioned the, I guess, four groups. I think the other one was the experiential.
We're working with Dan Israel from Razorfish. They've been wonderful. We're partnering with them, awesome digital agency here in Atlanta. And they're working with us on an app that we're trying to bring mobile experiences to life. So that's kind of still being worked out right now. We'll have more to come on that beginning of 2015, but I'd love to come back in and tell you guys a little bit about that later.
Awesome. Look for that. And then you touched on the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. Yeah. Tell me more about Barcelona.
So it's amazing. This is the fourth year, I think, we'll be going back. The Chamber has actually invested in a booth this year. So for those of you who haven't been, they've got a huge exhibit hall, I think 8 halls in overall. I mean, it's huge. And we've invested in a 10x20 booth space there, and we're calling it the Mobile Atlanta booth. So we're trying to bring together a delegation of different companies and partners of the chamber from Atlanta and from Georgia, the whole region really in general. And we want to, you know, tell that story together. So we, in this booth, we've split it up into 5 different podiums, and we're inviting companies to come share this booth space with us.
Awesome. And then I guess if a company wants to participate in Mobile World Congress, they reach out to you?
Yeah, reach out to me, H. Champagne, spell it just like the drink, at macoc.com. We'd love to have you.
Nice, excellent. And then the other events you guys have going on in the next month or two before the holidays?
Yeah, we've got a couple things coming up. We're partnering with LBMA, so the Location-Based Marketing Association. We've got an event actually this Thursday, so we've got a busy week. It's going to be at the Chamber on the rooftop, and we promise we've got some heaters and and some nice food and drink to keep you warm, but we're going to have that up there. And the topic for that event is beacons. So we're going to have some beacons and beer. And we've got some awesome
beacons and beer. I like that. I like the naming.
We've got beacons and beer, and we've got speakers. We've got a panel made up of some folks from Gimbel, the Braves, Simplify, and Coca-Cola.
That sounds awesome. That should be a cool event. And then anything else going on in the next month or two?
Yeah, we're actually, I don't know if you've heard of Covello, but it's a group. It's a startup from Atlanta. They're over at the ATDC. And we're working with them on an event called Fishbowl. So what we've done, the fourth working group that I didn't mention is Grow and Innovate. And really the goal of that one is to connect startups in Atlanta with larger companies to see what sort of opportunities that can come out of those connections.
Yep.
So beginning in 2014, we started doing fast pitch events. So these larger companies would get to look at a list of all of the mobility startups in Atlanta and say, okay, these guys or these women seem interesting to me. We'd like to see them pitch. What we're doing with Covello is we're kind of flipping that on its head, and it's a reverse fast pitch. So the companies will be pitching to the startups to see if the startups can help them think of any innovative ways to solve their problems.
Cool. What companies are asking for startups to pitch to them? Do you have a list yet?
We don't have a list to share yet. We're in talks with them. So if anyone is listening and for instance, Marco, you want to be involved.
Auto Trader, for sure.
For instance, Auto Trader, we'd love to have you.
So. Like an app that sells more cars than what we currently sell.
Right. We do have a couple people that I think are going to be on board, but yeah.
Awesome. Sounds exciting. And then if people want to find out more information about the upcoming events for the Metro Atlanta Chamber, where do they go?
Same thing. You can email me or you can just go to metroatlantachamber.com, and we've got a calendar of events there. You can always go and check that out. But I'm always happy to hear from you guys.
Awesome. Congratulations again.
Let me
flip over to Marco. So Marco Costa is the director of mobile from Auto Trader, which is a very, very big company. It's been around for, I think, almost 20 years now, right? The middle 90s, I think.
That's right.
You guys started up. So that's kind of with the internet, Auto Trader came around?
Well, to some extent. So the brand, we began actually back in 1977. With a printed magazine.
As old trade publications.
That was mobile back in the day, right?
You carry wherever you wanted.
You stick
it in your pocket.
You would go to the gas station, pick up the magazine, put it in your pocket, take it to your friend's house, and just talk about, the cars that you're looking for, right? And then go to the dealer. So that was mobile back in the day, right?
Yep.
We transitioned, around like 1998. Then we went live with a website, just taking all the information from the magazine, right, and just, you know, putting that there, you know, on the internet. And 2010, we came up with our, you know, mobile site and our mobile app. So that's the transition from, you know, 1977, the magazine, all the way to today, right?
Yeah, and can you talk a little bit? So you guys have, it's not just autotrader.com. You guys have a couple other assets too that you guys support, right? Isn't it KBB or some other pieces?
Yes, yes.
Part of that offering?
Yes, we do. So autotrader is just one of the companies, right? A few years back, you know, we bought, you know, Kelly Blue Book, right? So Kelly Blue Book is part of the family, if you will. And we kept the two different brands because they're like very strong brands, right? Everybody's familiar with the autotrader brand and Kelly Blue Book brand, right? So we have the two companies. In addition to that, that's the what we call the media side of the company, websites, mobile. There's another side of the company, which is software. We help dealers with CRM and different tools with just one common goal, right? Let's connect dealers and consumers, and let's help them, you know, for the consumers find the car that they're looking for, and for the dealers to sell the car.
Get their turns faster. Yeah. The for you guys, that the two sides of the house, I know a lot of people are familiar with that consumer-facing one, but the dealer side, how big is that? Is that like 30% of the time you guys spend, or is it... you know, what size, just part of the business does that look like?
So it's a, you know, we treat them both. I mean, they're both important, right? So we try to balance consumer and the consumer experience, and also pay attention to our customers, right? Our customers are trying to sell cars. Right now, something that we're trying to do is just help the relationship between the two at the dealership. So when a consumer actually goes to the dealership, can we improve the experience when they're buying a car, right? Right now they're spending, you know, probably between 4 and 6 hours, right, closing the deal at the dealership. So we're looking at mobile in particular, right, because everybody has their iPhone or Android device when they're at the dealership. Can we use that to help that experience and make it easier, faster, and better for both?
Yeah, the that experience is, you know, what are people doing on their mobile devices when they go to a dealership? What is this? I know, like in stores, people shop and they showroom and look at prices and stuff online. Is it the same experience? They, you know, you find most of your browsing comes from within a quarter mile of a dealership.
Yeah, so it's very interesting, right? So we know that 70% of the people that are at the dealership trying to get information online, they're using a mobile device, right? They don't have their PC. They have their mobile device, and when they are there, we also know what are the things that they're looking for. They're looking for making sure that the car they're looking at, that the price is right, that there is not the same car within probably 20 miles from that dealership at a lower price. So that's one thing that they're looking at. The other thing that they start thinking about as soon as they see that, okay, this is the car that I want, the price is a good price, the next question that they start asking themselves is, how much money am I going to get for my current car, my trade-in value? Can I use mobile, right, to determine, you know, what that value is, a fair price? So when they're going to the dealership, they start thinking about the transaction, right? My car, how much that's going to cost, how much the car that I'm going to buy, what's the right value? So they start moving from this phase when you're dreaming about your new car and you're comparing, you know, features and colors and things like that, to actually the transaction, right? So the consumer changes, and that's what they're doing at the dealership.
Are they doing that mostly on mobile web for you guys, or are they downloading the app? What's the mix for you?
So we see both. I mean, we see we see consumers that they're using, you know, our mobile site, and we see consumers that they're using mobile apps. As we move forward and we bring more features to help with that consumer experience, particularly to our apps, I can see them relying a little bit more on apps. For example, you were mentioning beacons.
Right.
We're trying to run we're running pilots right now where we're using geofencing and beacon technology and iBeacons and all that to try to help that experience, and we're going to rely on apps to do that. But I see both. I see mobile web and I see mobile apps.
You touched a little bit on this earlier, the experience for the consumer. It sounds like you guys are the trusted advisor, especially with KBB being, you know, I think that even back in the day when it was printed, people, when you bought or sold cars, you'd go buy a printed copy of it to find out what it was worth or what you could sell it for. How do you walk that tightrope of, you know, being the trusted advisor for the consumers and also working with the dealers to try to help them engage with people?
Really good question. That's what makes our business really complex, because what we do is we bring three groups together. We bring the consumers. We get 17 million unique visitors per month, so that's a lot of consumers trying to find their car. We the second group that we bring together into the mix is dealers. We have the inventory of 20,000 dealers, so we have a lot of, you know, listings and vehicles there. And we also have OEMs, Toyota, Ford, GM, providing content to consumers, advertisement. So what makes our business very complex is, how do you balance the three? Right? How can you offer a really, really good consumer experience, and also, right, how do you help the dealers, right, sell more cars and the OEMs? And what we do is we try to understand what the consumer journey is, you know, what the user goes through when they're buying a car, right? They begin dreaming about a car, you know, they see, you know, somebody else is driving a car when they're dropping off their kid, and you start like just dreaming about, you know, that particular car. Then something happens to you, either you get into an accident or something, and you need to buy a car, or you're expecting a baby and you need to change your car. Now you start exploring and selecting, you know, cars. And then you buy your car, and then you own your car. So that's
what about it. What about the buyer's remorse phase? Or seller's remorse. I definitely missed my old truck. I wish I hadn't sold it. I'm still sad about that. It's been a year. I miss the old guy.
So the point is, understand the consumer pain points, yep, that they have throughout that journey, right? And see how you can help them. And they're looking for the same, right? The consumer is looking for the next car, and the dealer is trying to sell, you know, the next car. So we are, like you said, we are the entity that bring these two groups together.
Yep. And for facilitating that trust, I know one of the things that, you always look at, I think your competitors, I'm guessing, are probably like the eBays and mm-hmm. Craigslist are an up and coming. There's always that concern around trust in those environments. Mm-hmm. How do you guys help foster trust amongst buyers?
Yeah. We are very transparent, so we have we try to make sure that the price that we have, that we display on our website or mobile, that is very clear, you know, what the price of the vehicle is. It's very complex when you have like incentives and discounts and different things going on from the dealer and the OEMs, right? So we try to be very transparent when it comes to the price. But in addition to that, we have, you know, dealer reviews, right? So we pull information about reviews that are not part of AutoTrader, just the community, right, about the different dealers, right? Kelley Blue Book has done a really good job when it comes down to what's the value of a car, right? If you want to see how much a car costs, you will probably go to Kelley Kelly Blue Book and get the prize, right? So all those things, just being transparent and making sure that the consumer gets the information and is clear, that's what we do. And providing the tools for them to do so.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about those tools? So as director over mobility at AutoTrader, what do you have to do day to day? What is your team working on to, I'm assuming there's some consumer pieces, like what does the end result look like for you?
Yeah, so right now what we have is we have our website, we have the mobile site that comes into the mobile territory, and we have our apps. So what my team does, on a daily basis is, first of all, making sure that our channels are running the way they should, and they're available to our consumers. They're listening a lot to feedback coming from the consumers. I mean, we spent a lot of time looking at the reviews, the Apple reviews and the Google Play reviews, emails that we get from our consumers, and based on that, we listen to them, and we sometimes include features in our future releases based on that feedback. So it's just like a two-way conversation. It's us providing the tools, but at the same time, listening what the consumers are looking for. And the third one is going back to that consumer journey. We look at the process, how consumers are buying cars, because that changes, right? Mobile is one aspect, right? That changed the whole car shopping experience. And for us to know what devices they're using, what they're using the devices for, where the pain points are, and based on that, we come up with our roadmap, right, for them.
Yep. Do you guys, within that, trying to figure out what they're doing, do you guys have a lot of analytics in the apps itself? Are you using, Flurry or something like that?
Yeah, for sure. We have a lot of analytics behind the scene, and the main challenge right now is 30% of car shoppers, they are using multiple devices. Right. Yeah. Before it was, going back to my example, it was the magazine, right? So only one. Now they're going to the PC, and then Sunday night they're using the tablet, and they go to the dealership and they are using their iPhone. So analytics has become complex, because just the car shopping experience is different now, right? It's going from device to device and at any given time, right? Yeah. And depending on the consumer. So we're trying to use analytics and data and all the information that we can gather from all our different devices to understand not only how consumers are using one particular app or website, but truly understand how they're using all these different devices, right, to find their next car, right, and yep. how we can help, right, that process.
And have you noticed any trends in around differences in the way people use mobile versus the way they've traditionally used web? So as you guys have started digging into those analytics, what does that look like? Have you found anything interesting there?
So when somebody goes to our website, you can browse. You can browse the inventory. You can browse the different vehicles and cars and information without creating an account. You need to provide your username and password, right? The same way you will go to Amazon and you will browse products. If you create an account, if you create an AutoTrader account, we provide more features, right? Like you can save cars that you're looking at, and then you can look at them later, or you can compare cars, right, before you make a decision. But in order to do that, you need to create your AutoTrader mm-hmm. account. Something that we noticed is that consumers are creating more accounts on mobile than on web. And I think that the reason for that is that when you download an app, right, one of the first few things that you're going to have to do probably is, creating an account or logging through, Facebook or using something else. And consumers are very used to providing that information on mobile. So I can tell you that 60% of the cards that are saved to your list, and in order to do that, you need to have an account, 60% is coming from mobile, right? So that's something that we didn't think about that before, but when we were looking at analytics and all the information behind the scene, we discovered that. Also engagement. Mobile consumers are generating more, are more engaged.
Yep.
Something that we...
Why do you think that is?
I think that it's easier. It's faster for them to browse. They're going from, probably they're thinking about, you know, a car they want to buy. They came up with their search probably on the desktop, and then during the day they're walking from a meeting to another meeting, and they're checking, you know, the information, or they get a notification about their car and the price went down, and they use that mobile device to keep doing the research, right, and the discovery. But they're generating more more VDPs. What we call VDP is vehicle detail page, which is basically the product detail page when you think about e-commerce. So we pay attention to those metrics, and more than 45% of the VDPs are coming from mobile today. So we've seen this shift in terms of traffic, KPIs, if you compare, you know, mobile on our website.
It's pretty cool. And for you guys, you talked a little bit about the login. Is it? Do you have a sense of the logins? You know, in the future, is it going to go to, you know, Google Plus or Facebook as your center, or Twitter as your central authentication source, or are people still creating accounts independently of apps?
Yeah, they're still creating accounts. They're still creating accounts. I think that if I had to think about the future, it's going to depend also on what Facebook and Google, right, what they do with that information, right? If the users are able to log in through Facebook or Google and they feel that their information is safe, they will do that. They will start embracing that and using that. It's easier, right? But it all depends, on what Facebook and Google is going to do with that information. If you create an account with a brand, then that particular brand decides, right, what to do with information. And particularly Auto Trader, we are very transparent with our users. So if you create an account with us, you're going to know, if we're using that information and why we're using it and when we're using it and all that. And for our business, is that information is just to help you find the car that, you know, that that you're looking for, right?
Yep.
That's it. So, but I do see a future where users might start, you know, using Facebook or Google to log in, into the apps. And we see that trend, you know, going on right now.
Do you guys see anything from a mobile payment standpoint in regards to, I feel like most of those transactions are big enough where they're going in and writing a check somewhere. There's not a lot of payment happening for cars online.
Yeah, you're totally right, right? So payments, I think that is going to grow, especially with everything that is going on with Apple and a few other companies. I do believe that consumers, there's going to be some adoption there. Consumers are going to start using payment for different items. Now, when it comes to cars, your house, right? So that's going to take more time, right? I think that we still have a long way to go. To your point, a car is going to be with probably a check.
I see people buying stuff on eBay though. They'll wire a bunch of money to PayPal and buy cars on eBay. I have a friend who's bought three, and it seems really weird to me.
Yeah,
it kind of weirds me out.
I have a couple of friends that they bought their cars, on eBay, and they flew somewhere else and pick it up and drove it back. So you see that, but it's just the early, adopters. I mean, I don't see that being, the most the way that people are going to pay for a car, in the near future, right? So it's going to get there, right? but it's going to take some time.
In other near technologies, you talked a little bit about beacons. Mm-hmm. And I know Hillary mentioned the LBMA?
LBMA event, yep.
LBMA. So I think, you know, in retail, beacons are becoming a lot more prevalent. Mm-hmm. For you, are there any other technologies you guys have seen or you guys are interested in that are coming in the next few years?
Yeah, so right now we're looking at beacons and geofencing. I see these technologies being used to not only to help the consumer experience at the dealership, but it's a way for us to bridge the gap between the online and physical, you know, world, right? So you know, if you're going to a dealer, right, and you saw different cars on the website, I think that we have the technology today for you to go to a dealership and get next to a car. And based on how close you are to the car, you can get information about the car display on your device. And you can get the price, you can get the information, you can compare prices. You know, eventually you're gonna be able to unlock the car with your iPhone. I mean, that technology is here today. So you could be able to unlock the car and just get in the car and get a video about the car and the features. So I think that the experience at the dealership is going to change. Of course, we have a long way to go, right? It's, you know, baby steps. The first one will be you driving to the dealership and just seeing a welcome message, right? Oh, you came to the dealership. These are the cars that you looked at. And you know, and here they are, right? That type of information helping you with the transaction, right? Going back to my previous point, right? So, how much is this a fair price? How much you're going to get, or you should get for your current vehicle, right? That's.
Can you talk a little bit about the that fairness? I know a lot of people historically dealerships have gotten a bad rap with. You know, there's always the one or two guys that are pushing cars and trying to how much is it going to take to get you into this one, right? Yeah. It seems that with the tools you guys bring, it really, like, you know, puts a lot of transparency there and could potentially put pressure on that type of that the way some dealerships may have done business in the past. For you guys, how do you work with dealerships? It seems like they would be potentially adversarial for you. What's that relationship like with you?
I think that. The problem we're talking about is trust, right? So you have two entities that they have the same goal. The consumer wants to buy the car, the dealer wants to sell the car, right? That should be pretty straightforward, right? So what happens?
Should be, yeah.
Yeah, what's getting in the way is trust, right? And that's where we can help, right? So if we get to a point where the consumer has enough information. Think about it for a second. If you go to the dealer and you see the car that you've been looking at for the past, you know, 2 months, this is the car, I like it. And you can know right there that the price is a fair price, right? And you're going to get a fair price for your current vehicle. That's half of the transaction, right? So you trust, you know, you start trusting, you know, the transaction. Yes, this is the car that I like. The price is a fair price. I'm going to get a fair price for my current vehicle. Then, you know, it's a different situation, right? That you're more open to having the conversation. You are trusting the dealer a little bit more, right? And I'm sure that the transaction is going to go much, you know, easier and faster, right? Yep. So I think that's the problem. The problem is trust between the two entities, and AutoTrader is the perfect company to help that situation and build trust between them.
Yeah, for you guys, do you see there being less dealers in the future as more of the car dealerships just focus on their online and you know, leveraging technologies like you guys to help with selling and help building that bridge faster? Is there going to be less dealerships, or is it, you know, is it still going to be just as many as ever?
I think that they're going to be around. You know, I see dealers. There are a lot of startups and companies that are changing the way that we use cars, right? So car sharing, right, is one that comes to mind, where you don't need to own a car anymore. We're gonna share cars, you know, between us, and we just pay a monthly fee, right? So the business is gonna change a little bit, but guess what? After a few years that we are sharing this car, we need to bring a new car, and that car needs to be sold.
Yeah.
So you're going to have you know, situations where you're buying and selling cars, right? So it's going to change. The dynamic is going to change with these different business models. But at the end of the day, somebody needs to sell the car, and somebody's going to buy the car, right? So I think that the dealers are going to are well positioned, and they've been doing this for many, 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 many years, and they will continue to do so.
Cool. Let me shift it up a bit. Can you talk a little bit about you guys being in Atlanta? So Auto Trader and your Atlanta offices, I know you guys are part of the greater Cox umbrella, but the you know, what does your offices look like here, and do you have any offices anywhere else?
Yes. So we have our main offices here. Are you talking from the mobile side?
Yep, or from the mobile side.
From mobile side. So our office is here. Our main, you know, team is here. We have another team in one of our business units in Texas, and in Kelly Blue Book in California. We have another, you know, team there. But most of the mobile team is here in Atlanta.
Yeah. What do you guys like about Atlanta from a city standpoint? Remember, Hillary is sitting next to you.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Thank you. That was my next question.
Atlanta is, I mean, the city, and we were talking about this before. I see Atlanta becoming this mobility hub. You know, there is a lot of, you know, great companies here in Atlanta. I've seen the past 4 years a lot of startups coming to Atlanta and starting here in Atlanta. I've seen the talent pool, you know, it has improved, right, in terms
good
of
work,
mobility,
Hillary.
Right?
Skilled workforce.
Yes, I've seen it changed, you know, when it comes to mobility here in Atlanta. So it's a great city to step into mobile, and you have support from, you know, the community. You have support from the big companies, right? And you have support from incubators and startups, right? So it's just perfect time. It's perfect time for Atlanta.
Cool, awesome. And then the another question, just for next week: are you guys expecting a big surge with Thanksgiving? Do people buy a lot of cars for the holiday season?
I don't think they're going to be worried about cars next week, right? I think that it's going to be a lot of retailers, cars. Definitely, you know, people are looking at cars and looking at new vehicles and options, but it's not something that, you know, as I said, that you're going to pay for using your mobile device yet, right?
Is it seasonal for you guys? Do you see a big uptick towards the end of the year?
Yes, it is.
So a lot more people are buying. Next 6 weeks is big for you?
Yeah, for sure. You know, towards the end of the year, you know, you see that trend.
Any particular day? December 31st?
Yeah, usually it's November, December. You know, that's when people start basically trying to get into that, you know, new vehicle.
Cool. And can you talk a little bit about the just mobile web versus app experience? What are your thoughts on that, and where that's going to go in the next few years?
I think that right now the way I see it, we need both, right? I mean, with mobile web, you can have the consumers can find that, you know, pretty quickly with a search. You know, they use, you know, Google, and they basically get directed to your mobile site. I do see a lot of value with apps. There are consumers that they like to use their mobile apps. There is technology that we can use with apps that we cannot use with web, like, you know, iBeacons, for example. I do think that it cannot be a copy and paste. It can be, when you look at the omni-channel, it can be that the same features that you have on web are the same features that you're going to have on apps. You truly need to think about what's the differentiator, right, for the apps. What are those tools, that technology that you want to use, and those tools that you want to add to your apps versus your mobile web.
Yeah.
But I think that, all of them are important.
So multi devices. Speaking of devices, are you Android guy, iOS guy?
iOS.
Okay, well, I thought you said BlackBerry for a second.
No.
Nice. iOS. And Hillary, you're iOS, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
iPhone right here.
Nice. You haven't broken it yet?
Oh, I have. Believe me, it was broken for a while. But now I've got this OtterBox. It was time that I took the real precautions here.
Nice.
I drop my phone often.
What about, are you buying a new car next week? Marco's, they got a website out of here.
Unless you're going to give me a good discount. I'm a little bit,
I know a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy.
Sure, if you want to hook me up, let's talk after this.
Wedding gift. Come on, Marco.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. We're old friends now.
Awesome. And Marco, for people who want to find out more about AutoTrader, the website for the mobile side is just the same as the regular?
Same as the regular. Just use it from your iPhone or Android or mobile device, and it will redirect to take you to the mobile site.
So autotrader.com, it'll take you there. And then you guys have an app in the Android and iOS store?
Yep.
Awesome. And then Windows 8 one, you have an app for that?
Not yet.
Not yet. You're working on it? You're going to get there?
Thinking about it. Let's see how the adoption goes without Windows.
You might wait for Windows 10. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for being on the show today. It was a pleasure. And Hillary, congratulations again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
I look forward to seeing Marco and you in Barcelona for Mobile World Congress.
Absolutely.
Right, Marco?
Let's do it.
Nice. And if people had questions for Hillary, the Metro Atlanta Chamber website is, what is it?
It's just metroatlantachamber.com. And my email is hchampagne@macoc.com. So feel free to shoot me any notes.
Excellent. Thank you guys very much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.